Terry Renner. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. Oh, wow, the formality.
How was your day? Well, you know, I respect the title. You know, we always refer to the congressman as congressman. There was a small conflict, and we had a big meeting here because we might have had to bump one of you guys today. Who trumps whom? Does the congressman trump the mayor, or does the mayor trump the congressman?
That's a programming decision. I'm not going to touch it.
What would you say?
I'm not going to touch it. I feel strongly both ways.
All right. All right. Let's see here. Let's talk about the city council meeting that took place the other night. A couple of things of interest here, and it will all lead to the big one, and that's the demolition of some buildings in downtown Bloomington.
Absolutely.
I'm watching intently. I love the glasses. I'm watching online, and lo and behold, who's the first person to step up and speak but former city council person, Judy Stearns, and you're thinking, my gosh, she's like Freddy Krueger. You think she's gone, and she keeps coming back. She was the first to speak, but I will say this.
I think it was, we had 14 people, and she was one of the two in the top, and I figured, okay, may as well start with her.
All right.
She's a former city council
But she brought up a good point, and that is, you know, you're talking about the demolition of some buildings downtown, really not knowing what at this point is going to go in there. I mean, ultimately, you'd like to see a hotel.
Well, even the original project, just to clarify, was not just a hotel. It was a hotel, conference center, light retail, perhaps a steakhouse. So there would be a mix of things.
And you have no takers now.
Yes, and because there are a lot of reasons. Buying land and redeveloping a downtown is not like a strip mall. A strip mall, you don't have issues of control of a land. Like Hy-Vee came in. Oh, that's the building I want. Downtown redevelopment in the United States and in most places throughout the world is complicated to revitalize because you sometimes have 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 people who own the property.
Well, I think that's her point, though, because she brought up the Coachman, the hotel that was demolished.
Right.
And there were big plans. Somebody was going to move in there, maybe even a hotel, and it still sits there after all these years empty.
Right. Well, it's fundamentally different. First of all, it was also overly promised. it was part of a previous regime, the regime of Tom Hamilton. Things are much more open, transparent. We do not write contracts that don't protect the city anymore. We're riddled with dozens of contracts that didn't protect the city. And we're not going to make those kinds of mistakes in the past. The other thing is it's not the central property. This particular block would link the Coliseum to the central part of downtown. It has the front and center building is unfortunately something there's no way in the world you could save it. It's a hazard in downtown. And then two underperforming buildings. So it's very, very much a strategic block. And let me also clarify, the front and center building is a hazard, but it's not about to collapse. And unfortunately, as in the city, as long as there's not like broken windows or something that could hurt people who are walking by, there's not much we can do in code enforcement. And if we move, and although if we do try to go to do battle with this owner, this landowner, he's pretty much legendary for making you spend hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in legal fees. And it's just a mess. So that really isn't, you know, an option for us. It's certainly not a cost-effective option.
Does that mean the city of Bloomington needs a better or needs an abandoned building ordinance?
We need that. Plus, we also, frankly, we shed 100 staff people 5 years ago. We don't have the staff, frankly, to do what's necessary. Our code enforcement took massive hits. So, I mean, we're trying to get back up to speed. And actually, with Tom Daberreiner, we are way ahead of we were. I mean, when I first came in, there were almost on a weekly basis several problems with dilapidated buildings and whatever. Now, Tom Daberreiner's on that within 24 hours. It was just like pulling teeth trying to get our code enforcement to do their darn jobs. Now they're on top of things and proactive. But let me also just clarify one other thing that seems to be misunderstood. We are not talking about taking money out of the general fund to pay for the bond. The concept of a TIF is a conservative funding proposal coming out of the Reagan administration, where the Reagan administration said, don't expect grant money from the federal government for your downtown or urban renewal. Figure out a way, like a TIF, to make the project itself pay for itself by the fruits of the investment. So it's kind of what they call a but-for test. But for the private investment, you wouldn't be getting those extra revenues. Okay, right now, let's say roughly the building, a little less than that. The fair market value is a little less than $3 million for the area, right? And if it goes from $3 million to, let's say, $33 million, that's pretty much a ballpark. That $30 million increment, when the project's completed, will produce a significant amount of new property tax revenues. That money is set aside into a TIF, Tax Increment Finance District, and the TIF pays the bond, right? So if you negotiate so that the bond comes due when the project's complete, the TIF pays the bond. And actually, the if there are other things that we want, let's say there's a particular kind of proposal that we really want, we could even, at the second phase, throw in hotel motel tax fees for 5 years or something. Right now, we're getting nothing.
Okay.
Even homeless people won't live in that building.
What
right?
about so, the idea, this developer that right. Is offering to do all this work and then sell it back to the city for 6 point?
Roughly 8.2, but...
He's a smart guy. He's very successful. Why doesn't he just do it? I mean, if it were a slam dunk deal, you think he'd say, hey, look, I'll just take this.
Well, there are many reasons why city, and this is very common practice. This is what many of the things that were done in Normal or much more aggressive. Like Normal went beyond TIFs. They actually spent tens of millions of taxpayers' dollars revitalizing their uptown area. That's why in the scheme of things, we're talking about something that's far more conservative and restrained. We're talking about one piece at a time. Yet, this particular developer, if he did that, we would have no control over what he put in there. I don't want a Jiffy Lube there. Right. This is one of the ways that the city then gets control over the area. So we say, okay, you sell it back to us, and then we send out a request for proposals. We may not take what Gablehausen offers. So we might have a better, setup, mixture of things. So let me also clarify, had we not got the money for the Route 66 Visitor Center one block away, that's in the first floor of the History Museum, that has had great success in opening 3 weeks ago, had we not gotten that, we would have had no prayer at getting a project like this unless we did spend tens of millions of taxpayers' dollars. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about funding it by a TIF.
So Gablehausen will likely be one of the developers who will propose something
absolutely
to the city, which after the city could evaluate among other proposals.
Once the land is cleared, minus the People's State Bank building, it's shovel ready. At that point, we send out a request for proposals, even when that's imminent. And then we see. And frankly, since this has hit the papers, we've got many number of people from throughout the state and the Midwest
and
who
are interested. And the radio airwaves.
And the radio airwaves.
Paper is a dirty five-letter word.
I see. Okay. And you're non-polluting.
So here's the other question, though. When you talk about the increase in the property tax value paying for the investment.
Correct.
What has happened to the city of Bloomington in the past is construction is delayed. I'm thinking of the TIF in Bao Chu, who was developing on the south side. That dragged on forever. Project wasn't finished. City wound up paying.
Unlike the past, when we write contracts, we're protecting the city. I mean, we can write a contract that says, you have to be in every morning at 7:30 in City Hall and eat cornflakes if we want.
Yeah.
And if you violate that, then the terms of the agreement require us to come forward. We want to make sure we have an aggressive timetable. And frankly, we've got a great model to the north. Normal took an area with vacant land, abandoned buildings, an EPA Superfund waste site, and turned it into an engine of economic growth. And we have, actually, in many cases, better assets. If we do our job right, we don't have to spend tens of millions of taxpayers' dollars doing that. We can try to be much more conservative and do it on a piece-by-piece basis with, first of all, TIF funding, maybe some hotel motel tax rebates. It's not money we're getting in our general fund now because there is nothing on that site, especially the front and center. We're not getting any hotel motel taxes on that site. We're getting a little less than $3 million of fair market value property taxes on that, not $33 million or whatever it might be. So, again, it's that but-for test as we move forward.
The abandoned buildings ordinance that we don't have.
Right. I took a ride with the cops a few weeks into being mayor, and they showed me stuff that made my jaw drop. And I tried to push the previous code enforcement director and others, and that was like pulling teeth. So now we've got a new team in place almost throughout the city, new department heads in almost every position, and especially in code enforcement, we're there.